Hello and welcome back to the Book Marketing Tips and Author Success Podcast. This is Penny Sansevier with my awesome co-host, Amy Cornell. And today we are talking about, is it memoir or self-help? And this show...
It sounds like an 80s game show.
You know, is it memoir or self-help? That's so funny. Well, this show idea actually came out of... some judging that I'm doing for a book contest. I love doing judging, even though I don't really have the time to do judging. I love making the time for it because I learn so much from what's out there. And Amy, I have something that I'm going to text you that somebody did on a book that we may talk about in a future show. That was such a smart idea.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, it was really
smart ideas.
I know. I'm taking pictures of the interior pages of this book yesterday, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so smart. But before we launch into the show, I just wanted to mention that it is March 1st, and the large print edition of the Amazon Author Formula is out today. And I'm very excited. This is my very first large print edition. And one of the things that has been surprising to me, I know we've announced it, a lot of people that want the large print edition. I mean, have you seen all that feedback, Amy?
Yeah, that's been,
I'm sure you have, because you're all over my social media all the time. But
yeah, I was surprised. And of course, when we post something very specific like that, I creep on it extra because I want to see what people say.
Yeah. But I was surprised. People really seem to love the large print. And I think part of the reason why I did it this year in particular is because you can enlarge the print on a Kindle, but large print readers, people who like large print, generally aren't a fan of reading ebooks. So that was sort of my impetus for wanting to do a large print and just to see how well it would do. It's definitely an underserved market, I think, personally. So we are also doing a BOGO for that. Buy one, give one. I almost said BYOB.
This comes out on Friday, so maybe.
Right. It comes out on Friday. So you can also toast to it with your bottle of wine. But buy a copy of the print book, send us the receipt, and we'll have all the details in the show notes. Send us the receipt, and you can give a Kindle version of the book to a friend. So, or you can give it to yourself if you want to have, there's no reason they can't give it to themselves, right? If they want to have both the Kindle version and the print version.
I guess not. No. Yeah, that's fine.
Amy's like, now you're messing up the contest. So once again, here I am messing up the contest.
Oh. It's totally fine. And I won't judge you for not sharing.
Sorry. I just totally thought about that on the fly. All right. So this contest, I was telling Amy, we have to do a podcast on this because apparently it's a thing. So I'm judging the self-help category of this contest. And there've been a lot of books that I'm actually keeping because they were just fabulous. But unfortunately, there were a whole lot of books that I got. I think there were something like, actually, there were like 65 books that I had to judge in this category. There were a lot of them. It was the biggest category that they got. And there were a lot of these books that were presented as self-help, but were actually memoir. And I thought it would be an important conversation to have that memoir isn't just automatically self-help. And the problem with this is that, you know, it costs money to enter the contest. You have to send them books, I think several books, whatever. And, you know, it's kind of discouraging because the notes back are going to be, this is in the wrong category because I can't judge something that's memoir. So not only that, but it's a wasted effort if you have something that isn't specifically, that isn't specifically in the self-help, isn't specifically angled to self-help. I'm kind of talking a little bit in circles, Amy. Do you want to clear the air here a little bit? Because I have very strong feelings about this.
I know Penny still has trauma from her judging. So
I know like 80% of the books honestly were memoir.
Wow.
80% of the, yeah, it was, I was staggering.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think it's probably, I kind of wanted to sort out this show by breaking down like the key differences, because I think that's what a lot of memoir authors don't realize, that it's not just about the intention. It's not just, you know, I think a lot of authors think more conceptually about what their memoir is or what they want it to be.
Right.
And they're not thinking about the actual requirements for books in those respective categories, you know, on Amazon and when people are looking for certain books. So I think going over some of the key differences might be kind of a light bulb moment for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think the first one I wanted to cover was your background and area of expertise. I mean, as a general rule, and anybody can do anything, obviously, it's the Wild West of publishing if there ever was one. But when we give recommendations like this, I want to note, like, it's because we are talking about the books that do well. Books that do well in a certain category. So a book that's going to be competitive in self-help, you really need to have a professional background that complements the topic you're covering. You know, you need to be someone that the reader can trust, provide them with information or guidance or tips or recommendations. I mean, that is a big factor in the buyer psychology. You know, it can't just, because we've seen this, and it's a great example, and Penny and I have seen it a lot. Someone goes through a divorce, so they want to write a relationship book. You know, right. that is not, you are not going to qualify yourself as a relationship expert because you've been through a divorce or because you have a great marriage. You know what I mean? Congrats to you on both of those, if it's a positive thing, but that does not make you a self-help author. And right. I think why that's tricky is that a lot of people that write a memoir, they do want to help people. They want to have a lasting impact. But the thing is, you can't control how people respond to your life story or experiences. You know, a memoir is not set up to guide people to a very specific end result. It's subjective, and that's okay. I mean, most memoir people that like to read memoirs, they love reading in that genre because of what they learn about the person, and it opens their eyes up to different experiences and different cultures and different, you know what I mean? But they're not there for a very specific end result. They're not expecting it to, you know, they're not going to do anything different in their life the next day because of it. Let's put it that way. So while you want to be helpful with your memoir or educational, that is still not the same as the guidance that is required.
Right.
In the self-help category.
But if I can interject here,
yeah.
One of the biggest issues that I had with these books, because I'm not supposed to read them, I'm just judging them on the way the book presents, right? Memoir, the presentation of memoir versus self-help is distinctly different. So remember that the first two letters of memoir are me, and a lot of books that are birthed out of an experience have a lot of that me factor in it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing if the book is a memoir. But if you are trying to build your platform, and I know we're going to talk about platform as well, if you're trying to build your platform with this book, it has to show a benefit to the reader right up front. You cannot lead with, you know, you have to lead with the benefits. You cannot lead with "this is my story," because if you lead with "this is my story," that is now firmly in the memoir. And that's where, for me, with these books, that's where the disconnect was. The disconnect was also in the book description. So the book description was when I went through, well, how does that apply to me? Right. How does that apply? Like, we all write for the most part. From personal experiences. I realize if any fantasy authors or whatever listening, I'm like, well, that's not really from my personal experience. Like, I get that.
I've never fallen in love with a vampire.
Right, right. I've never had a friend who was a shape-shifting bear or something, right? Like, I get it. But you have to, in order to take your memoir into the self-help area, this book has to fit in the self-help mold. And I'm not trying to say, you know, you have to be pigeonholed just like the rest of the self-help people. But there are specific guidelines that self-help readers, or specific, there's a checklist, I should say, that self-help readers look for. And I love self-help books, as Amy knows. Like, I'm always like, oh, that's a great thing. so for me, it was very apparent. I'm like, I don't even know how this book is going to benefit me or if it's even applicable to me. So you got to remember the packaging. And I know we're going to talk about a lot of the other stuff around this, but the packaging is extremely important.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know?
Absolutely. I think that was one of the points that we definitely want to drive home, the me versus them, you know?
Yeah. The me versus them. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Memoirs are about me. That's the whole point. That's why you write a memoir, but the self-help has to be about them. It's about the other person. You bring too much of yourself into it. And then all of a sudden, yeah, they don't see themselves in the book anymore. It's not about them and you're going to lose people. And then, you know, gosh, we won't get into all of it, but that also affects your branding and your pitching and all those other things that are going to fall flat because your book as a product is not putting out the right message to start with, let alone what you're trying to say about it, you know? So
yes,
that's a very good point. So the platform, should we do a little bit on that?
Yeah. Let's talk about the platform. Cause that's really,
That's something that we guide a lot of authors on that come in chat with us too. So, you know, I'm going to say you can realistically release a memoir without an extensive platform. I mean, we always say a basic website is a good idea. I mean, that's just the day and age we're in and have been in for a while, in case that's coming as a surprise to anybody.
Right.
And a website's great because you can provide even more background information on who you are, where you came from, what your experiences are. And if anything, it's going to complement your book and it's going to make you more interesting, more likable. But it doesn't have to be a super complex website, you know, focus on, again, this is great. I mean, you get to focus on you, make you sound interesting, make you sound engaging, fun, exciting, whatever you're going for with your memoir. But a website will pretty much cut it, you know, aside from your, you know, we're always going to say the Amazon aspect of it always has to be top notch. But when it comes to your platform off of Amazon, just a really clean, basic website is plenty to get going if you're a memoir author.
Yeah.
But it's very different for self-help. Do you want to?
Yeah, it's very different for self-help. And I think that if I'm buying a book about finance, or I'm buying a book about, you know, fitness or, you know, business, I have to know what makes you the expert, right? And part of that is going to be your platform. So whether you have if you have a YouTube channel, or if you have a blog, or, you know, maybe you have a successful podcast that you've had for a number of years, and having at least one social media account, and I'll let Amy take over the social media conversation in a minute, but at least one social media account that really supports and speaks to your work. So you have to have. So now you have the book product, the package of the book that is, yes, it's based on your experience, but here are the lessons, and your supporting information is going to be your website and your blog or your YouTube channel or your podcast, whatever. You don't necessarily have to have all of them. But speaking to the issue, but not just talking about your book. Talking about the things that are unique to your market or trends or things that are coming up, things to look ahead, things to watch out for. Talk about the thing that nobody else is talking about.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Take some chances on your blog about the conversations that you're having. Make yourself interesting, because the other side of this is that a lot of times authors, in particular in self-help, they aspire to getting into, you know, national media or big magazines or big podcasts or whatever. And these shows or publications are going to look at your platform. They're going to see what else you have said other than just a book. So it's really a production, right?
Right. I mean, yeah.
Your walk from memoir to self-help is really a production. And I think if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, you know, I don't really know. I don't know if I have the bandwidth to do the self-help, or then stay in the memoir category, but then make sure that everything that you have aligns with that genre, as opposed to trying to fit into a, you know,
Yes, I think that's a really good point, Penny, too, because another issue with kind of straddling those two is that people, and I think we've talked about this on other shows before, but people that buy self-help, it's not their first rodeo. Mm-mm. They buy self-help. They have pretty high expectations for what they expect to get. And we're going to do shows on the promise to the reader that kind of ties into this. So keep an eye out for those. But there are very high expectations for self-help. And if you don't deliver on that, because your book is really mostly memoir, but you were really hoping it would also kind of help people, it's not going to turn out well for you. It's going to be reflected in your reviews. It's going to be reflected in the lack of responses. If you're pitching yourself for media or coverage or interviews, it really is more critical than just, I want to give this a shot. You know, I think to your point, Penny, it is much more of a production. And you really don't want to risk ruining sometimes what can be just one chance that you get at something by saying like, I'm going to see how they respond to this when it comes to the difference between memoir and self-help.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that's definitely a really, really good point. And I think that it's, taking a memoir book into the self-help arena is definitely a different climb, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as you pointed out, and I love self-help. That is so my jam. We have very high expectations because there's a lot of stuff out there that is, you know, spouting a lot of different things. You're kind of like, you know, your Amazon retail page is going to reflect not the story, your story, but how this story is going to help readers and why your book is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think identifying the specific problem that you have, and maybe you just survived, you know, maybe you survived a series of bad relationships, or you survived something else. It's important to have a hard conversation with yourself that there are a lot of people out there writing about a lot of really bad stuff that they've lived through and thrived. And that's wonderful. And we want to celebrate that. But what makes yours worthy of it being in the self-help genre?
Right. And I think, yeah, I think that's a very good point, Penny. Sometimes I think authors give up too easily on memoir. You know, I mean, granted, but every category is competitive, let's be honest. But there are tons of people out there that just enjoy reading about other people's stories.
Yeah.
And I think if you really just focus on those people and connecting with them, you're going to see great results versus splitting your time and effort trying to be both things.
Well, but that's also a very good point. It's also very discouraging, right? Yeah. To your point. I mean, it's very discouraging when you try to get out there and you're like, nobody likes my book. Well, they might like it if it was actually in the memoir category versus trying to push it into self-help. Whenever I talk to memoir authors, the other reason that I think there is this bent to self-help is because memoir authors not just want to tell their story, they want to tell their story to inspire and help other people. And I think that is an admirable reason to publish a book, so they feel compelled to make it self-help. When in fact, as Amy said, there are a lot of people who read memoirs who like just reading about other people's stories. You can still inspire people and still be in the memoir category. But by being in the right category and having all of the right pieces kind of align, your experience will be so much better. Because I don't like, you know, I judge contests because I like, yeah, I love the creativity. I love seeing what authors are doing. You know what I mean? I mean, I really get, I don't have the time for it, but I love doing it because I learn so much from the books that are sent to me. But it's discouraging for me to look at these books that are really trying to be something that they're not, when they could be so amazing if they just owned the fact that they're memoirs.
Yes, 100%.
You know, so I hope that the show has been helpful. And as ever, we love your show ideas. We love your feedback. And we love a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in. Bye-bye.